Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you on this Tuesday morning, talking a little Titans football. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Gentry Estes from the Tennessean. Gentry, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. Good rant on Michigan there, Joe. I will now refer to them as America's team from now on.
America's team, baby.
Yeah, just like the 70s Cowboys.
That's right. Just beautiful. Shout out to Jim Harbaugh. Gentry, we've talked a lot about Vrabel so far this week. Obviously, we know the roster limitations. We know the situation that this Titans team is in right now. Having said all that, and with that information in the background, how do you evaluate the job that Vrabel has done to this point this year?
You know, in the past, I think when he got toward the end of last season, I think it made a handy excuse to say injuries, talent, just the roster wasn't good enough. And that happens and the GM gets fired. Now that excuse doesn't really work so much anymore because you had an offseason in which we don't really know who's making the final decisions on personnel, but I think most people assumed it was Vrabel in a lot of cases. And, you know, now the excuse of this roster and this team just isn't good enough doesn't hold the same weight, I think. So when you look at what's going on right now, guys like Andre Dillard and some of the what they did this last offseason not quite working out on the field, I think you do blame Vrabel a little more. I think you have to. And, you know, you get asked a lot, is he on the hot seat? Is he in trouble? No, I don't think he is right now. But I didn't think John Robinson was about to get fired right after the game in Philly last year either. And I just feel like at some point, you need something to turn. You need to start winning some games. You need to get some momentum. You need to do, let's say, like what the Denver Broncos are doing. You know, going and winning a game in Buffalo out of nowhere. You know, just getting something to get people to feel as though things are going in the right direction and the Titans are going the other way right now.
So staying with Vrabel, what do you make, Gentry, of the Patriots trade scenario? And I've heard there's some other teams that have heard this week too. I mean, maybe there could be a whole bunch of teams trying to trade for Mike Vrabel. What do you think of that? And let's say Robert Kraft really is moving on from Bill Belichick and really does. I think it's certainly viable. And I buy some of the reporting on him coveting Vrabel. How do you think Amy Adams Strunk would look at that?
You know, it's funny, you ask the one question about his job security and then they ask another one about how much other teams covet him.
Right, right.
The situation right now. I mean, you know, look, I think Vrabel's a good coach. He's done a good job here. I would say he's earned the right to try to get this turned around. But I would also say if another team really wanted pretty much any coach, but a coach right now who's 3-6 and – you know, if the offer is a couple of first-round picks or something really good for him, yeah, I'd do it. I think I would for almost any coach at this point. The Titans need that an influx of talent on the roster. And again, you know, we're talking about Vrabel, but I do think as you look at this team and you say, okay, what do they need most? They need players. They need more talent. This is an aging roster that also isn't very good, and that's not a good combination.
Is this offensive line – worse than last year's? Like, is Andre Dillard at left tackle worse than Dennis Daly?
Whew, that's a good question. The fact that even comes up, Robbie.
I know.
I mean, at this point, yeah, but you would almost have to say he is worse. And you didn't think the line – I mean, the line struggled so much last year. But there were excuses for that. LaJuan got hurt. Ben Jones was never healthy. You know, now you don't really have any excuses. They just didn't take care of this in the offseason. And I think this one you kind of knew the first week of training camp when you saw the O-line getting overwhelmed by the defensive front. And I think the hope for Titans fans at the time was, well, maybe our pass rush really is that good. No, it was the O-line. And we've seen it play out now this season to where they just didn't do enough there. And I, you know, look, I don't think any team is going to be very successful when you're getting overwhelmed on the offensive line, but especially this team. you know, that relies so much on Derrick Henry and run and play action. If you can't, run the ball, you can't protect your quarterback. I mean, you're just not going to do anything. It's going to look like it looked on Sunday, where the Titans got manhandled by a very beatable Tampa Bay team that had just struggled to stop the Texans.
So now you move forward, you know, we'll see. Like you said, you know, they could go win in Jacksonville, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, well, hanging around. I mean, the Jags looked like they were toast a year ago. But short of that, this is, you know, it's about Will Levis. And I do, you know, Vrabel got the question yesterday about, you know, the fear of, I guess, ruining a young quarterback if you get him hit, if you can't protect him, things like that. I personally, you know, I don't think that's a big concern, but I do think it's possible that the kid gets hurt this year. Where are you on his performance, and, you know, what about that, just the idea of protection possibly, you know, forcing another QB change before this season's over just because he's hurt?
I mean, you don't want to speak it into existence, obviously, but yeah, I'd say it's almost probable that he would get hurt this point. I would have said the same thing before Tannehill got hurt. I couldn't protect him, can't protect Levis. But I will say to the conversation of ruining Levis with this sort of thing, if that was going to ruin Will Levis, it already would have. If anyone watched Kentucky play last year, their O-line was every bit as bad as this. It was the kind of thing where he was hurt all last year. The protection was terrible. Kentucky's offense never got it figured out. They're out there losing to Vanderbilt, and Levis is throwing for about 100 yards in that game. The protection issues, he's seen that before against good defenses. And if anything, I think it might have helped him here the first few games coming into the NFL. But I feel like, you know, with Levis, he's a tough kid. But the night they drafted him, I don't know, Joe, if you remember, Vrabel gave an answer to the question of how much Kentucky's offense had gotten worse from Levis's first year to his second year as a starter, and said, if we don't protect him any better, it's not going to look any better. Well, they're not really protecting him any better.
Yeah, no question about that. Gentry on the sticking with the offensive front here. You know, Burks doesn't play on Sunday against Tampa Bay. We'll see what his status looks like for this week. But overall, with Burks and with Okonkwo, how do you view, if you're Vrabel and Carthon and you're trying to map out the future of the offense right now and trying to determine how to allocate your money, where to go with your draft picks, your needs, and there's a lot of them. How do Burks and Okonkwo factor into this, given how disappointing, in my mind, the both of them have been this year?
Just me personally, and they could view this totally different. I would stick with Treylon Burks. I still think there's something there. I want to see him when he's healthy. We've seen it on the practice field enough with him to make you think that's a talented guy. He's just got to stay healthy and get some confidence, but I still think that's somebody that can help you. You know, that is, he may never be a wide receiver one in this league. He may never do it, but I feel like he has that kind of ability. And if you have a guy like that, I think you need to see where that's going. Okonkwo, I think, is a nice player. I always thought the Titans were putting too much on him going into this season. He really hadn't proven that he could be a number one tight end and do everything that's needed to be on the field the way the Titans are going to want that player to be. And I just felt like last year he had a good year, but he didn't, as a rookie, but he didn't show enough to kind of prove he was that guy, and I still don't think he is. I think he's a guy you keep on the team, but I felt like they needed help at tight end anyway and still feel like that's the case. But at receiver, if you get Hopkins and Burks back, I think that's one of the few areas of the team you're probably feeling pretty good next year. There's going to be a whole lot of turnover everywhere else.
Yeah, well, including on defense. I mean, that's the thing. Because first of all, as you're talking earlier about things said in camp, I know I must have uttered 20 times on this show, well, the defensive front, though, you know, you got to keep that in mind with this offensive line. Come on. We're talking about a great pass rush. But I'm just looking at this defense, and I think there's a lot more work to do there than I would have expected at the beginning of this season. Or at least that's how I look at it. How do you look at that? Like, who on this defense, we know Jeff Simmons will be here. You know, I guess we know Amani Hooker and maybe a couple other guys, but who on this defense do you look at as like you're definitely moving forward with that guy other than Simmons?
Add Roger McCreary to the ones you named, and that's about it. I mean, you would like to keep a Denico Autry. I mean, I think he makes you better, but the real question, I guess, would be like a Harold Landry, because we saw at the time why the Titans chose to give him the deal he has. I mean, at the time he had kind of earned that, but I think the fear in that was, well, what if it wasn't him? What if it was everybody else on the line and he was just kind of benefiting from the attention other people got, but to be worth that kind of big money as an edge rusher? He hasn't really produced to that this year. Now, Landry did have a pretty good game in Tampa on Sunday. He was as active statistically as he has been this year. So maybe that was a good sign for a guy who's just still working his way back from an injury. That's entirely possible with Landry. That's the one that maybe I would put on as a question mark. It's just the deal, and as expensive as he is, he's not living up to that. But goodness knows he's not the only one on the team doing that right now.
Well, Gentry, really good stuff. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, you bet. Take care, guys.
Gentry Estes from the Tennessee and our guest on Robbie and Rector. There's part of an answer he gave there with Burks and Okonkwo that I want to kind of hone in on next, because to me, Joe, so much of what their plan is going to be as they move forward to really comes down to specifically Burks, but you could throw Okonkwo in there too. We'll get more into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.